Isaiah chapter 43 this morning. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. So let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we turn to Isaiah chapter 43 and read verses 1 and 2. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formeth thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I want you to notice verse number 1. I'm going to read it one more time. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formeth thee, O Israel, fear not. I want to speak on this subject this morning. Fear not. Fear not, Father. Thank you for all that we've had today. All of our music, all the special numbers, and our offering and others. Songs we sung today have all been about not fearing. We live in a society where it seems that we run from nothing. We create our own fears in our minds and our hearts and our thoughts and our own ways. Father, we need to learn not to fear. Sometimes we're faced with challenges we can't explain. We hear news that may not be good. We face heartaches and trials and tribulations that we don't fully understand. Yet in these things, we need to know that we need not to fear. That we can stand by you and you will care for us. I love the fact that you tell us in your word over and over again not to fear. Now bless as we learn. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, please. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to read where I stopped. O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Now this is written to Israel, but ladies and gentlemen, that's our condition as Christians. We are His. He's called us by name. He owns us. We are His. The words "no fear" is a phrase that we've seen all over printed on hats and t-shirts and energy drinks and so on. It sends a message that the wearer is not afraid to attempt some feat that involves the element of risk, like rappelling with a rope down the side of a cliff, or extreme dirt bike racing, or cliff jumping on race bikes, or base jumping, or ice climbing, or cave diving, or some extreme skateboarding, and so on. All these involve great fear and great risk to life and limb. And so they wear a shirt. The whole company's been based on the words, "No fear, no fear." Yet today, while the world yells, "No fear," God cries out to each of us, "Fear not. Fear not." Take your Bible just for a moment and look into chapter 12 of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. 63 times in the Bible uses the words, "Fear not." 63 times. Times God says to us, "Fear not." I guess if God's telling you and I something 63 times, maybe we ought to pay attention. If I was at home and my mama told me 63 times to do something, I better pay attention. There's something important here. Luke chapter 12, verse number 7 says, "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." God tells us that He knows everything about us. We don't need to fear anything. I don't know about you, but I'm not even as detailed in my life as to know how many hairs are on top of my head. I've never bothered to take the time to count them. There's been times in my life that I've helped my wife do some things to her hair, and I'm nothing near professional and trying to help my wife with her hair. In fact, it scares me every time I have to touch it. And I'll pull little pieces of hair for her through some cap or something, and I don't count them. I just pull them through. There's way too many for me to count. Besides, I'd lose count. Or I'd drop one and go, oh, what was that last number? Or somebody would start counting around me about something else, and I would lose track of that number if I even began to try to number my hairs, let alone my wife's hairs. Yet God knows so much about you and me that He has the very hairs on our heads numbered. And in saying that, He says to you and me, in Luke chapter 12, verse 7, fear not. Fear not. Why? Because He's got everything well in control. Not long ago, I was in country, in Africa, in the country of Cameroon. One of the missionaries, pilots, were flying to a remote area near the border of Nigeria, where there was a strong Islam and voodoo presence in that area of the world. Oftentimes they take more than one religion and mix them together, and it actually becomes quite confusing. And it can become very dangerous because you really don't know what the people believe or are practicing. And so there was a very strong Islam and voodoo presence at that time, and it became very dangerous for outsiders to go into that area. Those who had practiced Islam and voodoo had become extremely active. He said, we're going to go into a high-risk area because the people need the Lord there. The people need medical supplies. Some of them need medical attention. I know the news reporters are saying it's not a good place to go, and that the State Department is warning all Americans to stay away. But they need the Lord, and I must go, he said. A few days later, I was back at the home of this missionary, and I watched as his plane came in from landing, just returning from that area in Cameroon near Nigeria. After the plane landed, two very slight women emerged from the plane, an older woman and a younger woman, and the younger woman was carrying a baby who was just born, and they were going to take the baby to the doctor to make sure that everything was good with the baby. The older lady that came with them was the grandmama of that baby. Through an interpreter, she told me that this missionary had come to their village and showed them what the Bible said. And over a period of time, this family received Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Muslims in the area had told everyone now to stay away from this family. And they had sent a voodoo priest to their hut to cast a spell upon them to cleanse their tribe or that area of this vile religion called Christianity, and to get the Bible and its people away from there. So they sent him to cast a spell under them that they would be consumed by fire if they would not renounce Christ and the Bible. They were told that the only way they could not be destroyed by fire was to make an image of themselves and to cast that doll or image of themselves into the fire in front of the priest, and then they would not be consumed. They had 3 days to make their decision. 3 days to prepare for the dhow, and the fire would then come and consume them. During the wait, they thought about what to do. At first they thought maybe we should make the images. The power of the voodoo priest was extremely strong. Now they called it a different name because there's a religious name attached to it, but it's voodoo that they were practicing. And they thought maybe they should just for safety's sake, throw those dolls in there. They had 3 days to make that decision, and then the fire would come and kill them. During their wait, not knowing what to do, the missionary came back. They told them about the difficulty they were facing. The missionary taught them from the Bible how that they needed to trust the Lord, and He would protect them. He would guide them. He would strengthen them. He would keep them safe. He had also brought his adult daughter with him that on that particular visit. And she wanted to stay that night with that family as he went to a different village to preach that next day and pray with them and encourage them and strengthen them in the Word of God. Near the end of the second day, the priest came back to strongly chasten and exhort these people to not trust the God of the Bible, but in them and in Him and in His power, that He was the only one, and the beliefs in Him and their religious ordinances would save them. He threw something into the fire before he left, which caused the fire to burst high into the air, and reminded them that tomorrow at this same time, the same fire would rear up and consume them as well. They prayed for God's protection, and they decided they were going to stand for the Word of God and against this voodoo priest who had come to chasten them. The next day, a few hours before the deadline, the missionary came back. He picked up his daughter, and they needed to get onto their plane to go back to the area which they had come from. The family wanted them to stay until the voodoo priest had come by, and he said, "We can't stay that long. We've got to go now while it's light. To get to where we got to go, we got a long way to travel. And besides," he said, "I can't do anything for you. I have no power in myself. My daughter can't do anything for you. She has no power in herself. But trust the Word of God, for the God of the Bible would protect them, that He had the power, and only He had the power." He prayed with them and departed. His last words before he walked out of their hut was, "Trust the one and only true God." What would happen? What would happen now that voodoo priest was on his way back? How would things turn out for this family who had only now the Lord to protect them? They had to depend upon their faith in Jesus Christ, a God whom you nor I have ever seen, nor had they. At that given hour, the voodoo priest came back. He said an incantation over the fire. He gave them one last chance to recant, to turn away from what they said they believed, to walk away from that Bible and the God of the Bible. When they would not, he went over to the fire and threw something into the fire, and the fire went out. Frustrated, he went back and rekindled the fire again. The flames came up, and he threw another something onto the fire, and again the fire went out. He danced and chanted and restarted the fire, but at last it wouldn't stay burning. Out of frustration and irritation, he cast some kind of incantation over the people there and walked away. Defeated, he cursed the family as he walked on through the village and went on. God had spared that family. God had caused that power of the voodoo priest not to work. The family was exuberant, rejoicing and excited. And the word had spread through the village very quickly what had happened, because it was such an unusual thing to have seen that the voodoo priest could not overpower something that was around him. The missionary came back at his normal time to visit the family. When they walked in to the hut, there were a number of people that had now gathered in this home. They wanted to know the God who had the power over the gods of the voodoo priests in the Islamic nation that was there in that area, that had become so powerful and so strong. They had seen the power of believing in the Word of God and trusting in the Word of God, and they wanted to know that God that would protect them from the power of the voodoo priest. in that religion. Over a short time, many of those in the village were taught the Word of God, and many received Christ as their Savior. A church was being established. Over a short period of time, a young man from that village was called by God to be a preacher and was now coming back with the missionary to go to Bible college to study the Bible so he could go back and keep this little church that was being established strong from the people he came from who saw the power of God that day. Now the question is how long ago did this happen? This sounds like something that would have happened back in the 1800s. But ladies and gentlemen, this was in 2010, just 3 years ago, that this happened in this little village in Africa, in Cameroon, over by the border. I'm convinced that with God's guiding and our Savior telling us not to fear, there is nothing that we need to fear today. We can truly live our lives with no fear if we would just trust God. This family had nothing that they could do but trust God. They had nowhere they could go but to trust God. The pastor, the missionary wasn't there. The missionary's daughter wasn't there. All they knew was one thing, that they had to trust the God whom they had trusted to save them physically. Not because of our boldness or our strength does God give us no fear, but because God is able to overcome all things that we should have no fear. God promises people a measure of protection. If we look back in Isaiah 43, we see that God tells them that they don't have to worry about things. They don't have to worry about when things try to consume them. The children of Israel didn't have to worry when weapons were formed against them that they would prosper. Turn your Bible to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 and verse number 17. In Isaiah 54 and verse number 17 it says, "No weapon has formed against thee that shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is for me, saith the Lord." God will provide and protect and care for His people as they stand for Him. The people, the children of Israel had nothing that could go against them. Not any even weapon of war. Why? Because God was there to protect them. Is that what we believe today? That God is able to protect us? "When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned," he tells them in our Bible reading in chapter 43. That reminds me of Daniel. When King Nebuchadnezzar had called all the people in the kingdom of Babylon together and commanded them to bow down and worship him, the three Hebrew children decided that they were not going to do it. They refused to bow. So Nebuchadnezzar heated the furnace 10 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. And in this extreme heat, he cast these three Hebrew children, these three believers, these three that were trusting the God of the Bible. They knew that God had power that they did not have. And fearlessly they're thrown in. Those that threw them in were consumed by the fire as they were thrown in. Those that were around the top of the fire were consumed by the fire as they cast them into the fire. And yet, in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25, it tells us as they looked inside the furnace, and tells us, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God." There is nothing that can happen to us if God doesn't want it to. That also tells me that there's nothing that happens to me that God doesn't want it to. I have nothing to fear no matter what's coming in my life or what's coming in your life. I have nowhere I have to run to and hide except in Him. I don't need to flee from the foe. I don't need to run from the situation. I just need to trust God and fear not. Although Nebuchadnezzar had tried to destroy the ministry of these three Hebrew children, their ministry was not finished till God saw that it was finished. Ladies and gentlemen, God protected them just like the story I told you in Cameroon today. God protected them. God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and God will protect you and me. There will be times in your life when you experience fiery trials, and you don't know where to go or what to say. It just seems, you don't know, everything just seems to be falling apart around you. There seems to be no place you can go and nowhere that you can hide, and it just seems that everything's falling apart. But trust in the Lord and the power of His might, and He shall protect you. I don't need to fear. I have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. Nothing can happen to you. Everything goes through God's filter first. Everything goes through God's filter first. I like to call it the Father filter. At such times that trials and tribulations come to your life, we need to realize that the Father has filtered everything. You're His child. He knows you. He loves you. He cares for you. He knows everything about you. And there's nothing about your life He does not know. So I need to trust Him. And you need to trust Him. And we need to realize there is nothing to fear. There's nothing that causes the heartbreak. Listen, whatever happens, God prepared for you and I to handle it. And if it means we get consumed, as the three Hebrew children said, they'd rather go to the fire than do what they were told to do and bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar the king. They were going to take this stand. Even though the people in that little hut that day in Cameroon did not know what was going to happen, they would rather have burned in the fire and been killed than to have turned their back on Jesus Christ and the God of the Bible. But God saw them through it. How come we don't hear stories like that here in our country anymore? Because we're not fearing. We're fearing instead of not fearing. We're afraid of what everybody's going to do to us, so we back down and we behave rather than stand for the truth. Fear not! I have nothing to fear. Folks don't like what the Bible says. I don't have anything to fear. I love the fact that in Isaiah, we read just a little while ago, there is no weapon that can be formed against you, that can destroy you. Nothing can happen to you. Nothing can happen to me. Nothing can happen to us unless God allows it Himself. And what a better thing to have done than to have God allow it. He knows what's going on. But when we don't run to Him for help, when we try to handle it ourselves, we're powerless. You can't do it. You're not the answer. I'm not the answer. I love what that missionary told that family. I don't have any power in myself. And my daughter doesn't have any power in herself. There's nothing we can do by our presence to protect you. You must depend on the Lord by faith. For the just, the Bible says, shall walk by faith. Everything we are to do for Christ is simply by faith. Everything. Everything. But I'm so tired. By faith, you do the right thing. But I don't know where to go. By faith, go to the right place. Just walk with God. Walk in His Word. Follow what He says. Do what He's commanded us to do. Most of us don't even do what we're commanded to do. And so when we say, I don't know what to do, we run to the world for the answer, but we need to run to the Word of God and do the things that God's already told us to do. I heard a Christian lady speak the other day, and she said these words. When I was a little girl, my mama would say to me, go wash the dishes, dry them, and put them away. And she would wipe them, and there would still be some spots that she didn't quite get dry, and her mama would come to inspect the dishes, and she'd say, do them again. She'd say, but mama, they're clean. She said, but they're not, the job's not completed like it should be. Go back and do them again. But mama, and she'd go back, and she'd wash them again, and dry them again, and mama would come to inspect them again, and she said, I learned something. I learned to keep doing it till I did it right. And over my lifetime, she said, I've learned over my young years, my mama taught me, do it till I do it right. Just keep doing it and do it right. Obey. Obey. Do what I'm told without question. Do what I'm told without excuse. Do what I'm told even though I may not feel it needs to be done to the utmost, but to do what I'm told to do. She said that prepared me for my life as a pastor's wife. Because as a pastor's wife, I must do what God tells us to do, regardless of what I think about it or the direction I think we should go. I love that. That's what we need to do as Christians. Not question God, but to follow Him. Obediently and completely. By faith. Trusting Him to the utmost. And have no fear. Fear not, because I may not understand it. I may not agree with it. I may not even like it. And it may hurt. I may think I may be consumed by it, but I'm going to do it all the way through to the very end, no matter what happens. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Later on, Daniel took that same kind of stand. When everybody in the nation, including the leaders, had tricked the king to kill him because he prayed every day. Ladies and gentlemen, we just need to be obedient. In obedience, there is safety. Isn't that what we tell our children all the time? When our children are young, we say, hey, stay with me. Hold my hand. Don't run out into the street. What? So a child lets go of your hand and starts to run. What do? We scream at them. We go and grab their hand. We reprimand them. We correct them. We say, don't do that. It's dangerous out there. What are you doing? You're saying, I'm your protection. I'll take care of you. Follow what I'm telling you. Sometimes we tell our children, don't go over there with those kids. Don't play with those kids over there. Don't become friends with those kids, because I'm telling you, they're going to lead you down the wrong path and it's going to hurt you. Oh, but the kid says, but they're nice. I like them. I enjoy what they do. What could be in harm for that? Oh, and then we're caught playing with the wrong crowd. And mama comes back and says, oh no. Daddy comes back and says, that's not what we do. That's not how we behave. It's going to hurt you. Why? They've made a way for protection for you. And God has said, just follow me. Just follow what my word says. Just do what it says. Follow it. I will protect you. And you don't need not to have any fear. For if it runs through the Father's filter, He knows exactly what He's doing. And you and I can trust Him. When your children get a little older and they're not having to hold your hand anymore, and they get near the road, and you see a car coming, and you go, hey honey, I see. The kid already sees the car was coming and doesn't run out into the street. Even if his favorite ball had just rolled out there, because he realizes the importance of trusting what was said. So they don't have a fear. Why? Because they trusted. No matter what was going on, what they had learned from their father, from their mother, from their parents, from those that love them and protect them. And God loves you and protects you. And He says, I'll take care of you. Just follow me. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, and the last part of the verse says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know who that friend is? Jesus. And He will protect you. Will you allow Him to protect you? Are you willing to follow Him? You have to have a heart of being willing to live according to His will then. Then you'll have no need for fear, because you're doing what He said. When the whole world walks out on you, will you still be faithful to Jesus? If everyone turns their back on you because of what you've done for Christ, will you still be faithful to Jesus? Have you been focusing on your fears lately? Or have you been focusing on the one who says, fear not? Let me encourage you to shift your focus then, today, to the Protector. And He will deliver you. Choose His will for your life. And claim His promise of protection today. And He will take care of you. Father, thank You for what we've learned today.